we magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here tonight. And we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for their life, and they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. Father God, we thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word will not return void, but that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all that we'll take the word that we hear and go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you that we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability, you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness, the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But Father God, we thank you most of all for your anointing that's present tonight. We stir up that anointing tonight. We thank you, Father, that that anointing will saturate us and just change us in an instant. Father God, we thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world, and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Before I start, I want to say a special congratulations to John and Bonnie. They've been married for 50 years. They're celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. Amen. Praise God. So that means that they were married the year I was born. So because I'm fixing to celebrate my 50th birthday on July 22nd. All right. Amen. Well, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4. And I want to talk to you a little bit. I preach on this verse quite a bit. It's one of the verses that I tend to preach on. And I had no intention of preaching on this verse tonight. I was taking a nap this afternoon, and all of a sudden, this verse hit me. And I kept, meditating on it, thinking about it, and thinking, well, I preach on it a lot of times. I'm not going to. And so finally, after I told the Lord I'd preach on it, I was able to take a nap today. So that's why we're preaching on this verse. Because, sometimes people say, well, man, I've heard that over and over and over again. But, my grandfather, he primarily preached on the subject of faith. And I don't know how many times that he preached the same thing or similar things or the same verses over and over and over again. I remember he told a story about he was doing a multiple week meeting. This is back in the early part of his ministry, and he was coming on the third week. And in the morning times, they did morning sessions and evening sessions. In the morning time, he spoke primarily on faith. And so the start of the third week, some gentleman came and said, "Brother Hagin, are you going to talk about faith again this week?" He goes, "Yep." He goes, "Are you going to use the same scriptures you've been using the last 2 weeks?" He said, "Yep." He said, "Well, when are you going to move on to something else?" He said, "When you get it." Well, I want to tell you, he lived and died and kept preaching faith, so I guess nobody got it. So, not that we didn't get it, but but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But really, anything that we see and have all comes by hearing it over and over and over again. And sometimes, as Christians, we know something, and it's one thing to know a scripture, another thing to act on a scripture. And that's why I always pray about being a doer of God's word. A lot of times that you can quote a verse, but whenever things are going wrong in your life, you forget about that verse. You maybe quoted a verse all through your life, since you were a little kid and you had memory verses or whatever, but all of a sudden, whenever you have an opportunity to use that verse, you can't even remember it because the devil has you so, whatever, you're combobulated or whatever. You don't know what's going on, all right? So Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation for this. It says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice." You know what that means? Always be happy. In spite of your situations, be full of joy. I try to understand we're all not perfect, okay? Now, maybe you think I'm perfect. I'm not perfect, okay? Ask my wife and she'll definitely tell you that I'm not perfect, all right? But I mean, I try to always, just be happy. Because you know what? Why be upset? What good's it going to do to be upset about things? But it's interesting. It says, always be full of joy. Now, you understand it says always be full of joy, not sometimes. You know, I think some of you might want to read this to some of your best friends or whatever. It says, always be full of joy, or maybe your husband or your wife. It doesn't say, well, when you wake up on the right side of the bed, be full of joy. You know, when you get your breakfast, be full of joy, or after you had your morning coffee, be full of joy. It says, always be full of joy. Why should we be full of joy? Because we know Jesus Christ. Because he's with us. He's there for us. He's helping us at all times. And so, you know, it's not that hard to be full of joy, but not only says be full of joy, it says continue to rejoice. You know what rejoice means? It means re-having joy. You continue to rejoice. And, you know, I don't know, I guess it must be, it is a habit, but, you know, there's bad habits and there's good habits. You know, like smoking's a bad habit. You know, it will, I'm not saying it's a sin, I'm saying it's bad for your lungs. In fact, I was with a gentleman the other day at the hospital, and, you know, he was a smoker. And I was there when his doctor told him, he says, you know what, you probably, he's an older gentleman, he said, you probably aged 20 more years than you should because you're smoking. And told him, he says, you know, if I were you, I'd quit. But, you know, and he was actually in the hospital for quite a while, and he was on those nicotine patches, and they were moving him down, you know. He said, well, by the time you get out of here, your body actually won't even crave the nicotine, so you shouldn't, you know, want to smoke. Well, in fact, he actually even gave some choice words of why he shouldn't smoke. But I just want to tell you that I talked to his wife the other day. He got out of the hospital, and he's smoking again, so whatever, you know. So that's a bad habit. But you know what a good habit is quoting scripture. You know, waking up and say, you know, this is the day the Lord's made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. But, you know, when you say that, do it. But one of the good habits I have is all the time, I don't know, I'm just driving my car and I just say, thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm excited about what Jesus has done for me. I'm excited that I can call upon his name. I'm excited that, you know what, it doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what the devil's trying to put in my life, that I can come against it. Because, you know what, I have the power of Jesus. And I can be excited. I can be happy. I can rejoice. You know, and so many times, you know, it seems like Christians are down in the dumps all the time. And there are some people, and, you know, I'm not saying, I don't know anyone here in this room, okay? So don't think, you know, but I know some Christians that I don't even want to ask them how they're doing. Because when I ask them how they're doing, they want to give me a laundry list of how bad it is and you know, and how terrible it is. And, you know, but praise God, I'm believing the Lord, you know. And so, but you know what? It doesn't matter what you're going through. What matters is, you know what? In the end, you win. Amen. And so you should think about the ending and not what you're going through. And, you know, we should always be full of joy. But that's not really what I was going to talk about. But it goes on to say, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. But this is what I want to talk about. Next verse says, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Now, you know, if most Christians would actually heed this, I don't know what they would do. In fact, I know people that worry about everything. And if they don't have enough to worry about themselves, they worry about their kids' life. So they worry about somebody else's life, or their best friend's life, or their neighbor's life, or someone they don't even know's life, or the president's life, or whatever. I mean, you know, they just like to worry. And we call them worry warts. Now, I don't know where you got the name worry warts. And I don't know if worrying too much gets you a wart. I don't know. I have no clue, you know, why they call them worry warts. This is something that I've heard about all my life. But it says, don't worry about anything. All right. The New King James says, don't have anxiety. Be anxious for nothing. You know, that means whatever you face, whenever you face it, don't worry. You know, there was a little song a few years ago that was real popular. It says, don't worry, be happy. Anyone remember that? I mean, that's about all it says. I mean, it has a little bit, but, you know, but be happy. You know, interesting part about it is, I mean, I just read the first part, you know, the first verse, you know, said rejoice or be happy. So basically, this was taken, the song actually was taken from here in Philippians. You know, it said, actually right here it says, be happy then don't worry. But that's what it is. Be happy, don't worry. Now, I want to tell you, you'll have many marvelous opportunities to worry. Things will happen in this world. You know, and I speak on it all the time. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he's going to come to steal, kill, and destroy. That was Jesus Christ telling us 2,000 years ago. He's going to try to do that. You're going to have many marvelous opportunities. But when those opportunities come, you have a choice. You can either worry about it, or you can just be happy. Be joyful. Don't worry about anything. You know, they actually say that like 80% of things that people worry about, they either can't change or have no control of, or it will never happen to them. You know, I know here so many people are worried about tornadoes. All right, and you know, not now because it's, you know, kind of tornado season's kind of passed a little bit, although we can still have a tornado. But you know, at my house, in fact, here in Oklahoma City, I know more of you guys actually have tornado shelters. But for whatever reason, in Tulsa, I've never known anyone. I'm 50 years old. I don't know anyone who lives in Tulsa who has a tornado shelter. I know people have them, you know. But my wife said, you know, we should get a tornado shelter. I'm like, why? I would rather just believe God. It's a lot cheaper. Plus, my wife, and you know, you should never admit that you're afraid of anything, but she's kind of claustrophobic. I said, I don't want to be with you in a tornado shelter because you're going to not want to be there. So, you know, now the great thing about, I won't say great, but one thing I did to my stepdaughter a number of times, especially when she was little, is one of the best places, you know, they tell you to find a room in the middle of the house. And we actually have a pretty good sized walk-in pantry. It's right in the middle of the house. And so that's one of the best places you could be. At our house, there's also a couple of other places. But so one night, we were having some rough weather. My daughter went to the pantry and I left her there for an hour. It was a lot more quiet when she was in the pantry. Can I come out? No, it might come back. I mean, there was only about a 10-minute interval. She might have should have been in the pantry, but I didn't tell her to come out. So, actually, it was a little late at night. Anyway, she had a pillow. She fell asleep in the pantry, so I just left her in there for a little bit. And finally, a couple hours later, we told her she can go back up to her room. But you know, a lot of people are afraid of a lot of things. You know, in the world we live in today, I mean, fear controls a lot of people. In fact, you know, I ask this quite a bit. And when it comes to schooling, I don't care how people do school, whether they go to public school, private school, or homeschool, as long as they go to school. All right. I've actually had kids. I have 7 kids. I don't know if anyone. No, me, my wife and I, we have 7 kids together. And so you might not. So I only have 3 natural kids, all right? 4 stepchildren. And so I have 7 children. And so my kids have, you know, all total, they've gone to public school, they've gone to private school. I've had 2 of my kids that are homeschooled. So I've done it all. So I'm not against anything, okay? But, you know, it's interesting. A number of times when I see people are homeschooling their children, I've always asked them, is there a reason you're homeschooling? Now, the reason my oldest son homeschooled is because he moved away and he was racing. So he, you know, it wasn't convenient for him to go to a normal school. But I've always asked, you know, why they homeschool. You know, the number one reason why people homeschool their kids that I have found out, I'm not saying this isn't the reason, I haven't Googled it or anything, but it's because of fear. People are afraid of school shootings. People are afraid of drugs. People are afraid of all kinds of things in the school. You know, if you want to homeschool your kid, that's good. I have no trouble with it. But don't do it because you're afraid. Because if you're afraid, that means you're admitting that you're afraid of something. Don't be afraid about anything. You know, I've often said, maybe when we were kids, maybe our parents are kind of to blame why we were, you know, afraid of the boogeyman. You know, I don't know, when I was a little kid, you know, my dad used to always say, well, the boogeyman might come, you know. I'm not sure who the boogeyman was. And why would you want to? Has anyone ever thought about who a boogeyman is and what a boogeyman does? I mean, are we talking boogie like boogers or boogie like the guy's dancing around? Or if a guy's dancing around, wouldn't we actually not be that afraid of some guy dancing around? I don't know. See, some things hit me whenever. I never thought about that before in my entire life. And so I'm thinking, boogeyman. Well, so that's one reason to come to church here, because you never know what you'll hear. You never know what I'll talk about. But you know, the thing about it, we shouldn't be afraid of anything, whether it's a boogeyman or monsters under our bed or whatever. But a lot of times when we're joking with our kids when as young, we even put a kind of a fear type thing. And then there are some people that are like to watch scary movies, you know, and what? Why put more fear out there? You know, we're not supposed to be afraid. And in fact, I mean, that's one thing that we actually have scripture for. 2 Timothy 1:7, I have it here from the New King James, says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." So, you know, I'm different than everybody else, but a lot of times whenever I've had situations in my life have happened, when all of a sudden that I wanted to be afraid, or I get a little scared or a little worried, all of a sudden, you know what comes up? 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God has not given me a spirit of fear." So if God has not given me a spirit of fear, who has given me that spirit of fear? It's the enemy, the devil, the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's not from God. Fear is not from God. All right? Fear is not from God. You know, see, faith is the opposite of fear. And so many times we get into fear for whatever reason, you know, whether we go to the doctor and we get a bad report, you know, or whether something happens and, you know, in our life, you know, our family or whatever, we get afraid, you know. But, you know, it's just another opportunity to trust God. Many times, I know people that are afraid to go to the doctor because, my own father-in-law, he was having some heart issues, and we had to about turn his, you know, well, his son came in town and had to almost threaten him just to get him to go to the hospital because he was afraid. Well, so, you know, my point is, what are you going to do, just die here, you know? And, you know, well, he was afraid to go to the hospital, so he died. I mean, I'd rather go find out what's wrong with me. Once I find out what's wrong with me, then I can take care of it. I can do something about it. I can put my faith there. You know, I'm not afraid. I mean, you know, even if you go to the doctor and you get bad news, even if they say you have cancer, you have this, you have that, you know, those are just words. But you know what? We know that God is greater than those words. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter, you know, and I get it. I mean, you have an opportunity to fear. I mean, many of you probably don't know. I don't talk about it probably as much as I should. Is that I had a brain tumor. I had it removed when I was 13, and it was the size of my fist, back here at the back of my skull right here. And it was, in fact, the doctors were concerned because it was very close to the brain stem. They said, actually, this turning my head too much could actually kill me. If it moved and hit the brain stem, I won't be here. So, you know, at 13, and the doctor comes, and he tells me about the operation they're going to do and said it's a relatively, you know, safe operation. I said, you know, we have about 80%, you know, success ratio with that operation. The only issue is if we're not successful he didn't say it this way, but this is how he meant it. If we're not successful, I die. Now, you know, see, I'm 13, you know, and so, you know, you know what? The first thing, you know, because this is me. The first thing that I thought about after the doctor left, and I don't know, my parents left. They didn't leave for good, but they went somewhere. I was in a room by myself and thinking, you know, here in Oklahoma, I have been watching the weather forecast, and we've had a 20% chance of rain, and it rained. You know, and all of a sudden fear began to try to hit me. But then you know what came up in my heart was, God has not given us a spirit of fear. You know, and so I just began to trust God and trust the doctors that they could do because I had to have surgery because the doctors were concerned. They said, we can do something about it now. If we wait, we won't be able to do anything about it. And basically, it was an impending death. You know, God has not given us a spirit of fear. And many times we get afraid, we get anxious, we get worried. You know, sometimes we get upset. I mean, I know sometimes we get all anxious and all worked up. Like for instance, you know, I'm not saying this has happened to me, but it has. Well, I guess not my wife, but I guess my kids have done this. You know, your kids get in an auto accident. Hopefully it's not their fault. But still, even if it isn't their fault, you still got to work with the insurance and this and that and all kinds of stuff. And it's like, you know, but when it is their fault, it's even worse. And so I remember my stepdaughter got in an accident, you know, and my first thing was just to get mad. But I'm like, she can't change it anyway. What's the matter? She's already had a wreck. Why worry about it? Why get all upset about it? Why get all anxious? And, you know, I just thank God she's fine. She's not, you know, not hurt. Nobody else is hurt. We'll fix the car. It's going to cost money. It's just like last night. My son, he's a race car driver. Most of you know that. And so he finished second last night, which was good. Bad thing about it, you know, the last lap, the engine started sounding sour. I don't know. We might have blew the engine, you know, and it might be expensive or whatever. But you know what? What are you going to do about it? Get mad? You know, I'm just glad that the whole race, at least we finished second, so good the points. But, you know, it's going to cost money. And so I was surprised because usually when I call my dad, he gets mad about that kind of stuff. And he goes, well, we'll get it fixed. I mean, he wasn't even mad about it. And what's interesting part about it, and I don't mean to tell on him, but I'm going to tell on him, okay? And I love my father, but we were, there's a barbecue restaurant in Tulsa, and it's called Burnco. And it's one of those places you have to get in line, and they'll sell out of the barbecue real quickly or whatever. So my dad likes the ribs there. And we got up there, and as soon as we got up there, the guy said, 86 the ribs. That means they're out of ribs. You know, so I didn't want ribs anyway, so I didn't order ribs. My dad throws a fit over here, so he's, you know. I'm like, Dad, you can't do anything. What are you going to do? We can go somewhere else to eat, but there's nothing you can do about it. They're out of ribs. Praise God, the guy comes back and says, no, we have a little more ribs. So Dad got his ribs. So, you know, you know. And, you know, he was just being normal, you know, and that's the thing. So what happens in life a lot of times is that, you know, we have anxiety for a second. All right, I'm not going to say that worry doesn't come on you for a second. It's what you do with it after that second that's very important. Because, you know, we're not robots. We have emotion. We have anxiety, but you know, when anxiety and worry starts to come in, then we have to remember what does God's word say? What does the word say? In my own life, my grandfather, he always would say he's a stickler for the word. And anytime you ask him anything, he would say, well, what does God's word say about it? And so when we go through any situation, like we're having worry or we're having anxiety, what does the word say? The word says is that fear doesn't come from God. It says, do not be afraid. Yeah, but you know, other people get afraid of this situation. Why shouldn't I be afraid? Because you, unlike them, or maybe they, you know, here's the thing. We all have Jesus to turn to. But sometimes, even as Christians, we don't turn to him. You know, but, you know, it's no big deal. We're going to make it. We're going to get through this. Just the other day, my wife's uncle, he lives in Reno, he called and he was crying. He was at, we're actually over her mom's house, and he's having some physical issues, mainly once again because some choices he made in life, once again with the smoking thing. So he's on oxygen and he was having trouble breathing. He was by himself and he was just getting concerned. And we were trying to urge him. He needs to, you know, get a hold of one of his kids and go to the emergency room. I mean, you know, if you're, I mean, because, but the thing about it is he was having a lot of anxiety. I mean, it was, yeah, he does have some ailments, but the anxiety was making it a whole lot worse. He was getting all worked up. And so I took over the phone and I began to pray with him. But the biggest thing I prayed is that the peace of God will come up over him. You know, and so he even said, well, immediately he felt better. You know, but I hammered it home. I don't know how many times during my prayer I prayed for peace. Lord, give Uncle Bill peace. Give him peace. And so he did go to the doctor, and it actually turned out that his air hose on his oxygen tank, there was a bunch, it had been clogged up. He hadn't cleaned that, so it wasn't giving him oxygen like he needed to, but he... you know, I mean, he still has some issues, okay? And he wasn't, you know, he still has some issues in his body. But he told the doctor, he goes, I had a miracle now. I thought I was dying. He said, but I prayed for him, and he said he got a miracle. But you know what really happened is he had peace. In fact, they tell you, if you have a heart attack, the best thing you can do is relax. Now, I know it kind of sounds, you know, how do you relax if you're having a heart attack? But, in fact, some people, whenever they think they're having a heart attack, they're having an anxiety attack. And they think it's a heart attack because they're not relaxed. You know, and the thing, I get it. I mean, we live in a cruel world. There's a lot of stuff going on. You know, but the thing is, we have to just relax and trust in the Lord. And in fact, 1 Peter 5:7, reading from the New King James, it says this, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, I want to circle that word, all. Casting all of your care. Now, not 85% of your care, not 95% of your care, not even 99.9% of your care. It says casting all of your care. So here's something that you need to think about. If you're ever at home and you're worried or caring about something, you haven't cast all your care upon the Lord. All right? And so what do you need to do is say, you know what? God cares about me. So I'm going to let these cares go and say, God, you're going to have to take care of it for me. Because I can't handle it anymore. I can't do this anymore. You know, and there are some times where people, I've heard people all the time saying, I can't do it anymore. I can't physically do it. And you know what I tell them? Then stop physically doing it. Give their care over to the Lord. Let him do it. Let him care for you. You know, it says casting all. A-L-L. In fact, maybe you actually use that as a laundry detergent. You know, hopefully it gets all your clothes clean, but if it doesn't, then switch to Tide. Not sure what that does, but, you know, it's like water. It goes up and down. You know, all means all. It means everything. So anything that you're worried about, you're supposed to cast that to the Lord. Now, has anyone ever gone fishing? Hopefully most of you gone fishing or watched somebody fish, you know, watch the Outdoor Channel or whatever. Do you realize if, you know, and this happens a lot whenever little kids, I mean, they're learning how to fish. And, you know, when I'm a little kid, you know, and I try to cast my rod, sometimes it goes like 2 feet. Nobody ever tells it, you know, never say it's a good cast. Now, maybe as a kid, you say it's a good cast, but do better or whatever. But, you know, but if I would, every time I cast my fishing rod and I went 2 feet, you know, that wouldn't be a good cast. The best cast is one that you can throw and it goes forever out there. You know, no, I was doing that one time. We were in a boat and trying to cast toward the shallow. But a couple of times I actually cast it too far and made it to the rocks. Then your lure gets stuck there. Then you go scuba dive. No, I don't go scuba dive. I go grab my lure. But sometimes it gets stuck. But you know, a good cast is when you get away from you, as far away from you as you can. You know, when you give something to God, you get it away from you. You just throw it way out there. Say, God, here, take it. I don't want to see it. You know, now with the cast, when you're fishing, you're reeling it back in. You need to cast it and let and throw the rod away, and you know, make sure it's not a good rod. But I mean, you know, when it comes to your cares, cast it out there and let go of the rope. Let go of the rod. Let go. I mean, you know, say, God, here's you take care of it. I don't have the capability of taking care of it. You realize that there is nothing too hard for God, and there's nothing that he doesn't want to help you with. It says, for he cares for you. Amen. He cares about you. He cares about your cares. And he doesn't want you to have to sit around and care. But he can't do anything until you give it to him. You know, pass him the ball, so to speak. It's like, you know, anyone ever play the game Hot Potato? You know, nobody wants to hold the potato, but you need to act like your cares are a hot potato, and you need to say, God, here, take it. But you'll see, God has these like calloused hands, and he can take it. He can hold on to your potato and everybody else's potato. You know, he's a potato holder. So you never learned that. What'd you learn in church, guys? God's a potato holder. And the boogeyman's weird, so anyway, but God can take it. And he wants to take it from you. He doesn't want you to have anxiety. He doesn't want you to have worry. He wants you to live stress-free. Now here, you know, like I said, once again, you are going to have opportunities to have stress. You're going to have opportunities to freak out. But, you know, and it's going to be natural. And you're going to have times. But as soon as that happens, as soon as you go through it, you have to remember what God's word says. Be calm. Cast my cares on the Lord. Don't worry about anything. Man, you know, it's hard to be joyful and rejoicing when you're worried about stuff. You can't, don't worry, be happy. I mean, you got to quit worrying before you can be happy. And the reason a lot of people are miserable because they're worried. And I remember too, I remember back in school, high school and college days, you know, where you're up half the night. Now, once you've studied, once you've done this stuff, then you're trying to sleep and you can't sleep because you're worried about your test the next day. And you know what? The majority of times, I'm not saying every time, but majority of times when I took the test the next day, it was a breeze. It wasn't that hard. It sure wasn't worth, you know, losing 3 or 4 hours of sleep. I mean, I value my sleep. You know, and so here's the thing. If you're ever laying in your bed worried about something, then you haven't cast it to the Lord. You're having a care here. You know, if you can't sleep, then there's something you're worried about, something you're caring about. So what you need to do is say, Lord, I'm tired of worrying about this. It's interrupting my sleep. It's interrupting my day. It's interrupting everything. You know, and I understand it's a critical situation. But you know what? I'm going to choose not to worry. I'm going to choose to put it into your hands. Remember the song that we used to sing as a kid or whatever? He has the whole world in his hands. You and me, brother, in his hands. You and me, sister, in his hands. You know, but when we get older, we think that God dropped the whole world and they're all for themselves, you know, fending for themselves. God hasn't dropped any whole world. He's holding his hand. He's holding his hand out and saying, you know what? Just give me your issues. Give me your problems. Give me your anxiety. Give me your worries. Let me take care of them. You know, and here's the deal is sometimes you're going through a situation, you get a bad report, you go to the doctor, get a bad report, and then, you know, you're believing God, trusting God, and you go back and get another bad report. You know what? Don't worry. Be happy. Yeah, but I had a bad report. I don't care. Whose report are you going to believe? You're going to believe the report of the Lord, or you're going to believe the report of a doctor? You know what? Only believe. The Bible says all things are possible to those that believe. Only believe. You know, which also means if you don't believe, nothing's possible. Only believe. And don't worry about everything. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. You know, I get accused all the time, my grandfather did too, about not worrying about anything. I mean, it was like, in fact, one time my grandmother, when my when my dad was younger, my dad and my Aunt Pat, they were younger, and said that my grandmother said she was standing on the front porch, and she was complaining to my grandfather, about something, about him not really seeming to care or seeming to worry. So she said these words: "You know what? If me and the kids dropped dead right here on the front porch, I don't think you'd even worry about it." You know what his answer was? "Well, why should I worry then? Well, I can't do anything. You're dead." You know, I know it sounds kind of funny, but the truth is we can't do anything about it. It's happened. You know, it's already happened. What are you going to do? You know, and so sometimes people actually take it that because you're not worried about everything that you don't care. I care. But the Bible actually says to live carefree, to not to care, to cast all our cares. You know, in fact, I remember one time in my life, and I'll tell you exactly where we were, because we were downtown Indianapolis, Indiana, at the Hilton Hotel, right next to the Indiana Convention Center there in Indianapolis. And my grandmother did not go on that trip with my grandfather and myself. She was having some physical things, and only time in my entire life. We were sitting there eating lunch, and my grandfather looked at me and says, "Craig, I'm worried about your grandmother." And then he, you know, it's interesting because see, he did exactly what I do all the time. As soon as he said those words, he said, "No, I'm not worried, because I'm not supposed to be worried about anything, but I am concerned. But I'm not worried, but, you know, because I put things in God's hand." But, you know, the situation, though, he also said to me, he said, "You know what? This is something she's going to have to do on her own faith. I can't do anything about it." And that's why she was concerned. She was concerned. He was concerned that she wasn't going to be able to use her faith in her situation. But lo and behold, she outlived him. So, you know, I guess she got the last laugh or whatever. So, you know, but the thing about it is sometimes we do get worried and concerned. But as soon as we do, we have to remember that we're not supposed to worry. We don't have to worry because we have Jesus. We don't have to be concerned because we have Jesus. But what do we need to do? Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. Whenever we're having those times, whenever we feel about worry, Philippians 4:5 says, "Don't worry about anything, but what should we do? We should pray about everything." Everything that we have, we should pray about it. You know, now sometimes I kind of go overboard, you know, as a joke, okay? You know, some people have asked me, "So, Craig, where do you want to go eat?" "I don't know, I'm praying about it." You know, maybe you can actually make your own decision about where to go eat, but, you know, when it comes to important situations, maybe you should pray about it. You know, I mean, especially when it's a situation like, you know, getting married or whatever, you should pray about that. You know, I mean, and I'm kind of being funny, but I'm being serious. I know some people that don't. They're like, "Man, I found someone who actually married me. I'm doing it." And I've had people tell me that almost, not exactly, but almost to those words. "Man, if someone's going to put up with me, I'm tying the knot." But you know, when it comes to important decisions, you know, a lot of times too, it's interesting because I mean, a lot of Christians, you know, I know whenever we're looking to buy something like a house, like a car, a lot of times we don't even pray about it. You know, if I'm going to buy a house or a car, I always pray that the Lord will lead me to the right one, the best deal, the right salesman, right realtor if you need that, or whatever. Man, I pray about stuff, you know, and I pray for favor. Amen. Yes. You know, but a lot of times Christians don't. I don't know, but the Bible says to pray about everything. Amen. If it's something you're going through, especially if it's something you're worried about, if it's something you're worried about, just pray about it. And it goes on to say, pray about everything. How do we do it? We tell God what we need. "God, this is what I'm going through, man. This is what I need. This is my situation." I mean, you know, if you're opening up your bills and you have a bill for $1,325.12, you know, and you look at your bank account and you have 12 cents, well, you have part of it. But not enough. So what do you need? You need to tell God, what do you need? I believe in being specific. "God, this is what I need. This is what I need. If what I need is a well body, then that's what I need. If what I need is a financial situation, that's what I need. If what I need is a breakthrough and something, that's what I need. You know, what do you need? Because you know what? If you don't know what you need, then you can't pray for it. You know, sometimes people are all, you know, they're all worried about something. They don't even know what they need. You know, I mean, do research. Figure out what you need. Figure out what you, how you need to, you know, what you need. But pray about what you need. And then thank him for all that he's done. All means not only thank him that the situation is taken care of, but thank him for everything he's done for you in the past and everything he's going to do for you in the future. Man, we serve a good God. You know, and I mean, God has met my needs over and over and over again. You know, and he's going to continue to meet my needs. I know he will. You know, I thank God for my life. And sometimes, you know, you when you're going through things, you're like, man, it's just too much. But it's not too much because I have a too much God. My God is too much, and he'll handle everything I'm going through. And he knew that I was going to go through it anyway. And he's right there with me with his hand out. Hey, I'm here to help you. What can I do for you? Tell me what you need. Tell me what you need. So then it says, you know, tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. Then this is my favorite part, all right? Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Now, I want you to notice this because some people don't. Now, a lot of people think that I'm going to have peace once my needs met. That's not what it says here. It says once I ask him, once I tell him what my I need, once I thank him for what he's done and thank him for this is done, then at that moment, I can experience peace in the middle of my storm. I can experience peace. You say, yeah, but you still haven't, it hadn't been met. No, it hadn't been met, but I cast my care upon him. I don't have it yet physically, but you know what? By faith, I know my needs are met. I know my situation's changing. It says, you will experience God's peace, which exceeds. I like that word, exceeds. It exceeds anything we can understand. We can't even understand it because it's, you know, it's when a peace comes in and you don't even know why you're peaceful. Because you shouldn't be. In fact, I've had people get mad at me because I'm not peaceful. Because I am peaceful in certain situations. They're like, aren't you worried? No. Why aren't you worried? Because. Now, see, I should say because, but I'm kind of like that. I'll just say because, just because they'll make them ask more questions. Because I know the outcome. I'm not worried because I know the outcome. I would be worried if I didn't. See, people worry about the outcome because they don't know the outcome. But if you already know the outcome, why are you worried about it? Do you realize that? I mean, if you knew that you are going to get through your situation, why would you be worried? I'd be worried if I wasn't getting through that situation. But I know, you know, I serve the same God that says, let's go to the other side, and goes to the other side in the middle of the storm. Doesn't matter. Storms have to go. Storms have to go when peace comes in. So the peace that passes all understanding, or the peace that exceeds anything we can understand, his peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. See, at this point, you know, this is where we have to continually keep the mind of Christ. And you know what? We have to, every time the devil tries to knock on the door and says, hey, Craig, do you realize your problem's still here? We have to say, you know what? I've given it to Jesus. If you have an issue, Mr. Devil, you need to go talk to him. Because I've already passed on my care. I've already passed on my concern. It's not my concern anymore. You realize it quit becoming my concern whenever I passed it on. So if you're so concerned about something, you haven't passed it on. You haven't let it go. You haven't told God what you need. Man, just pass it on. I mean, you know, just get rid of it. But I'm going to tell you that every time, especially whenever you have this peace come in, the devil's going to try to come to you and say, you know, why are you having peace? You shouldn't have peace. Now, sometimes the devil will come in the oppression of other people. Right, I'm not calling them the devil. I'm just saying that they'll be like freaking out because you don't have me. I mean, people see, these are the people that have to worry about your problems. Sometimes I understand some of my family members do worry about your problems. You know, I guess that's part of being a family, you know. And doesn't matter how old your kids get, you still worry about their problems. My mom still worries about my problems. She's so concerned, you know. I mean, you know, not that she knows that God's not handling it, but you know, she's concerned. You know, I know many times I got doctors. She'll call me. What did the doctor say? He said, "Well, look up the word health in the dictionary, and you'll see my picture right next to it." That's what I tell her. Maybe it's not that true, but no, she wants to make sure I'm okay. You know, that's how parents are. But you know what? Just like my earthly parents want to make sure I'm okay, so does my heavenly Father want to make sure I'm okay as well. You know, and especially, here's the thing. He has the wherewithal to do it for you. Where my earthly parents, I mean, you know, they have, you know, a little bit of wherewithal, but they can't do everything. And they can believe with me. They can trust with me. But God can take care of everything. All I got to do is ask him. All I got to do is tell him. And you know, and that peace of God that passes all understanding can overtake me. And see, that happens before you get your answer. See, when you get your answer, all you do is jump up and down, be happy about it. But you know what? I already have peace because I know the answer is mine because the Bible says it is. God's word works. God's word works for me. God's word works for you. What does God's word say? It says that whatever we believe that we shall receive. It says if we ask anything in his name, he will do it. Amen. That's his word. Well, I mean, you know, I'm going through this situation. I've said, you know, God, this is my situation, this is my circumstances. Here's my problem. This is what I need. Thank you, Father, it's done now. Thank you, Father, that for everything you've done in my life. Thank you, Father, that every time I had a need before, you met that need. Thank you, Father, that you'll always meet my need. That's exactly what we need to do. And as soon as we do that, we can have peace. And once we have peace, then we can rejoice every day. We can be happy every day. We can have a smile on our face. I know many times when I've gone through a lot of situations where a lot of people probably, you know, wouldn't even get out of bed. I get out of bed with a smile on my face every day because I know I'm going to get through this situation. I know this situation is only temporal. I know it's just temporary. I know the answer. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for each and every person here. And Father God, we thank you. If anyone is going through anxiety and worry right now, or if they ever will in the future, we thank you, Father, that they'll remember this little teaching here. We thank you, Father, that we won't hold on to our worries and troubles and stuff. But Father God, we thank you that we'll just let you take care of our situation. Help us cast our cares upon you, Father, because we know that you do care about us. We know that you're concerned about us. And Father God, we just thank you right now that you'll just help us. Help us. You know, whenever we face that day or that hour, whenever something's going on in our life that we can know, you know what? I'm not going to let this thing overtake me, but I'm going to cast it on. I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to not worry and be happy. And Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without the saving knowledge of him. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe here tonight and you say, "Craig, I want to rededicate my life to God." If that's you, just lift your hand across the auditorium. Anybody needs to be saved the first time or wants to rededicate their life to God. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We thank you for sending laborers across our path on a daily basis, and we thank you that they will come into that saving knowledge of you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. Let's all stand up. And before we go, does anybody need healing in their body? Come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you if you need healing. Whether it's a big thing, whether it's a small thing, it doesn't matter. You know, sometimes people have something small and they're like, well, well, I don't need healing. I mean, I mean, it's just a small thing. I can get through it. You know, I don't care if it's big or small. It doesn't matter. God wants to take care of your situation. Amen. Anybody else need healing? Come down here. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What I'm going to do, I'm going to ask that you just close your eyes. And I want you to think about Jesus Christ and your healing. Amen. Father God, we thank you right now. We thank you for the healing power of God that's flowing into her body. And we thank you, Father, right now as we lay hands upon her and upon this prayer cloth, Father. We thank you, Father, for the power of God, the healing power of God flowing into her body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. We command that this body is well. We command that this body is whole. We thank you, Father, that she is well and healthy, Father. We thank you that you're driving out whatever the devil's trying to do to this body, Father. We thank you right now for the peace of God that passes all understanding, not upon the family, Father. We thank you, Father, for peace during this situation. And we thank you that everything will be okay. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. You want to sing something? Yeah, let's sing something. I don't know, just fill my heart that we should sing something before we go. And not Don't Worry, Be Happy, but you know, but some happy song, some good, joyful song or whatever.
I let the peace of God rule in my heart. It quiets my mind from fearful thoughts. When problems arise like storms on the sea, the peace of the Lord is upon me.
Amen. If you don't know that song, that's actually Keith Moore wrote that song, and it's a great song. It was on one of his I guess a peace CD. He has, and my mom actually, I think, has it on her PCD as well. It's just a great song. I tell you, that song will give you peace. Amen. Amen. Well, you know the way that we dismiss around here, I'll be back there to shake your hand at the door. If you don't want to shake my hand, there's other doors. But if you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you tonight. We have a connection team. They're going to come and take you. We got a special gift for you. Amen. And so, also on the 50% off. That's actually July the 9th, so it's not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. If you go online, you can save 50% off of all our merchandise, all right? Not the books are out here, but if you go online to rhema.org and go to the bookstore there, it's 50% off July 9th. So it's kind of our Christmas in July. Well, it is our Christmas in July sale. During Christmas time, we do the same kind of sale, but, you know, a lot of people said, well, I only get 50% off one time a year, so we started doing what we call Christmas in July. Although it's only, you know, it technically should be July 25th, but whatever, we do it July 9th. That's fine. But for 24 hours, you can go online, you know. You can go online multiple times if you want to, all right? 50% off all our what we call faith library items. Amen. Well, praise God. I'll be back there to shake your hand, and we'll see you next week.